Luke is wishing he can be here, but Luke does have Luke Skinner has a new job within the Minnesota Department of Natural Resources as the director of the Invasive Species Program, and he was called away on some legislative committee work and couldn't attend. So I'll try to do justice to his presentation here. many of you know this plant, but purple loosestrife has been around for many decades, found in virtually every state and in Canada. It's an emergent aquatic plant. Adult plants can have up to 2 million seeds a year, and the seeds will persist for up to 9 years. So you can imagine the seed bank that's in some of these wetlands. Plants can range from 1 meter in height to over 3 meters in height. And when you're standing in chest waders and looking up at a 3 meter high plant, it's impressive. We have a good database in Minnesota through the efforts of the folks in the Department of Natural Resources. 2,300 wetlands in Minnesota are known to be infested with purple loosestrife. 3% of the wetlands in the state are infested with purple loosestrife. And we started a biocontrol program and piggybacked on Barrett Blossy's great work in establishing the species that we could release. And we were some of the first groups to release two Gallerosella species in Minnesota in 1992. And we then established very quickly after that a mass rearing program. And recognizing that it took several hundred beetles to get a good colony started in the field. And then we had an ongoing assessment program of establishment and control. So how do you raise 1 million beetles? Well, first of all, you don't do it in my lab. that was kind of my mantra to Luke. And so what we did is we created a very simple rearing system. We got volunteers of Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts and DNR employees, MDA employees, anybody that wanted to help us out. All we told them they needed to do is dig up 20 root crowns from your favorite wetland. And when you had that, we would bring the potting soil to you, or you could come into campus and pick that up, fertilizer and the pots, and then you go out to the local Walmart and buy kitty wading pools. You post a guard dog if you wish, and rear pots. You send us a digital photograph of your plants. We can assess whether or not they're at the right stage and development, and then we'll provide you a short training session with your groups, and we give you these nets here that you can see Luke holding, and we give you about 200 insects. And then you cover your plants. You have erect a little clothesline you really can't see in this picture, so that when the thunderstorms come in June and July, your plants aren't tipped over and your kiddie pools aren't blown away. But each of these pots will rear about 3,000 Gallerosella species. And species because we do have two. When you first begin to see adults emerge, you simply carry the pots to the wetland and release them in the pot, so there's no handling of the insects. In doing this, citizen scientist to a degree here, we have 1,700 release sites or releases in 800 unique sites throughout the state, all done with volunteers. My lab probably did 8 to 10 of these, so that shows you how great this collaboration has been. In 2006, we've visited 320 of these sites and rated them whether or not they had defoliation at a particular level. Anything 50% and above we consider here as significant defoliation, and 99 or 31% of those sites had defoliation in excess of 51%. Additional work done by folks in my lab, we now know the distribution of this beetle or the dispersion of this beetle throughout the state, and that's located in the yellow dots here. We've now quit rearing. We have beetles close enough to any purple loosestrife known infestation in the state that within 2 or 3 years beetles will find those infestation sites and will control those situations. Michelle Yoder, a master student in my lab, just finished her master's degree, and one of the tasks that she had in front of her was to go out to sample as many of these sites as you could in a distribution across the state and tell us what species you found. By and large, what we released was a mixture of 85% Gallicella calmariensis and a 15% Gallicella pusilla. And what you can see on this slide here is that the proportion of Gallicella pusilla, there are some 68 of these 131 sites that are predominantly Gallicella pusilla, even though that was not the predominant species released. There are some, 40 sites that are predominantly Gallicella calmariensis. And what's kind of interesting is that there's only a handful of sites that would be in what we would consider a 50-50 mixture. This is not the same that what Berndt Blasi found in Europe in the native situation, but perhaps we've only had things out 10, 11 years, so they may be finding their foothold in North America yet. So here's one of our initial release sites. This is Winona, Minnesota. This little brown spot right here is actually a student standing in chest deep in water holding a lath stick up, and you still can't barely see the person. This was a phenomenal sight of a monoculture of a loosestrife. An aerial view of this 8 years later shows the complete defoliation of the site by the Gallicella. A close-up view of the site here, and rebound of this site in 2 years later. The beetles went down a bit in density, the plants recovered some, but we went through three or four cycles of this, and what you can see by these views is that we do have other plants moving into this massive monoculture, but unfortunately the other plants are things like reed canary grass and typha. So did we do something good or not? But at least we don't have loosestrife there. This is a complicated slide. I want you to just concentrate on this number here. We were spending about $102,000 a year controlling purple loosestrife in wetlands, spraying about 500 gallons of Rodeo, which is the version of glyphosate. So it's basically, if you're green, you're dead. Herbicide, and it was getting hosed out into the wetlands. By 2005, we've reduced the herbicide use in the state to 4/10 of a gallon. We still spend $9,000 because a lot of people spend time going out searching for new emergent populations. What's the fascinating thing about this is, that's pretty impressive. We got a $14 million quarantine facility out of this data, so it's really been worthwhile releasing Gallicella. So we now have a biosafety level 2 and a biosafety level 3 quarantine facility on the St. Paul campus, driven in large part, not solely by this, but driven in large part by the success of the biocontrol program on purple loosestrife. Now, the remaining couple of minutes here, I just want to step you through the last half of the talk that said something about, we might say something about species diversity in the sites. Now, remember, this is a Winona site here, and this is what we started with. This is what we came to. I remember I took my wife to this site. She'd seen it like this, and I got real excited about this, and she said, okay, well, wait a minute. This is good, this is bad, and this is good. Said, you're one sick puppy. and this is where it is, where we're going. I think I can step through these in fairly quick order. But what you can see is a cycling of populations on a purple loosestrife height. And you can see here number of stems per meter is cycling a bit. And then the impressive thing here is we virtually had a monoculture recall on the Winona site, and like I said, we now have two new species in there. So we haven't done a lot of recovery of native species, but that loose monoculture was probably present there for decades, and we just don't have the seed bank in there to recover a lot of other native plants. The same thing is going on in Big Marine Lake. It took a few more years before we got perpolucidite stem densities down after the initial release. Big Marine Lake is a more diverse system, but after 7 years after release, we still don't see additional plants in the system. What we have simply done is drop perpolucidite out of the system. Circle Lake is our primary insectary in the state of Minnesota. This is probably 80% of the releases have originated out of this. A very large lake, a wetland system, hundreds of acres, and we've been collecting Gallerosella beetles out of this system for a number of years and doing releases. We were real excited when we saw that, you know, we declined in the number of stems per square meter. We also had a corresponding increase in the number of plant species. It wasn't just reed canary grass and typha, but since then, we've kind of held static. So the real perspectives that I want to do, we have invasive plants can change, permanent change in plant communities. Biocontrol does, in this case, reduce the target plant. Seed bank depletion because of the monocultures of the systems many we have there, restoration is sorely needed, and that it needs to be in conjunction with biocontrol or as a part of a biocontrol effort. Thank you.